Hello, listener. I'm Alex Woods, your host in the woods.
Fan, sluta. Gör det bättre då.
Yeah, I know I have to do this in English to appeal to the maximum amount of listeners. I suppose I should explain where I'm from. I'm Alex Woods, your host in the Scandinavian forest. With a bunch of unruly animals. I know, English. This is no good, Snips. No one will ever understand me. I need to find someone to talk for me. I'm just going to take a break and listen to the radio.
Helps me communicate a bit better with the new imports. And I'm thinking of starting to leak some of my transmissions to the upper adversity so they know we exist. Until next time, citizens, I remain yours. Because I am.
Snips, of course. This is one of those weird transmissions that we've been getting from the place called the Subway City. According to my previous calculations, the signal is coming from the center of the earth. But she has the perfect voice. I need her for this job. Sit up, Snips, and bring me my shovel.
What is that? No. What is that?
Saul? Is that you?
Now that doesn't make sense. He would be coming from beneath me.
Alert. Signori?
Hello.
Hola.
How can I help you?
What the hell's going on?
Signori, what's happening?
This wasn't easy like sliding in on a shrimp sandwich.
Oh dear God, what is that creature?
Well, hello to you too.
No, not you, that!
Oh, him? That's just Snips, my sidekick duck.
What is a duck?
We get to that later. Are you Anne? Have I reached Subway City? I received your transmissions.
Yeah. There are better ways to get here than by digging through manually from the surface, but to each their own, I guess. I suppose I can just put in a work order to get the ceiling fixed. Orientation won't be for another week, though. Is it safe to touch the duck?
Probably not the best idea right now. Look, I don't have a lot of time to explain, but you need it on the surface.
Me? Wait, did you say something about my transmissions? I haven't sent any new transmissions in years. Oh, you know what? It must have been one of our time anomalies. Anyway, I've been kinda semi-retired for a while now. You see, there was this girl, and I thought we were gonna settle down, and well, it's over now, and I just lost my flair for the stories, and, well, I've never been to the surface. I'm not even sure my lungs can handle it.
We still need you. I need you.
Whoa, there's Sailor. Buy me dinner first.
Oh, whoops. Sorry about that. I'm just attaching this harness so we can ascend.
Do you plan on explaining anytime soon?
When we all get to the top, I tell her about how I need her to be the voice on the Safi cast. I know, I already have a voice, but apparently Americans can't understand my accent. Oh, shh. Now please check your own harness. Remember, we have to watch out for the store who owe you at on the way back up.
Rebooting.
Yes, please, you do that. After I'm done with her, the Subway City transmit needs to come back online.
Hello and welcome to the SepPitcast.
Sepic! With an F sound!
F? Well, that's not obvious. What is a sapphic?
It's a reference to Sappho, who was the founder of Lesbians.
The founder of the... I'd like to shake her hand.
Back to the script, please. I have to go out, hunt our dinner.
Hunt?
Yes, it's polar bear season.
Going out there? What if I get cold?
There's wood for the stove.
And what about that?
Snips will be keeping an eye on you. I can't let you leave until you help to tell this story.
Good little fellow.
Until later.
Okay then. So, hello everyone. My name is Am Onimus. I'm the voice of the... Well, I guess I was the voice of the Subversity Transmit. A transmission of speculative fiction stories for the outcasts that live in my home, the Subversity. I've been summoned here now to deliver a tale on behalf of the Sapphic cast and Alex Woods, who is apparently currently hunting dinner. So, without further ado, we present a story of self-reflection. Retail Therapy. I was standing in the dressing room again. It was the second time this week, and since the mall is failing, I kept thinking I could get in and get out without anyone catching me in the throes of my retail therapy. But apparently not. 3 days ago, it was Yolanda from Weight Watchers, and she came up on me from behind in the line at the Panda. I had been about to order a Beijing beef combo, but Yo was up on me like, "Denise, hey honey, you about to use some cheap points too?" I mirrored her in mirth and then ordered a kid's broccoli and beef. Yolanda leaned over my shoulder and asked the clerk, "Can I get her a cookie?" before turning to me and adding, "You don't mind, right? I give them to my husband." "No, it's fine," I lied, and added to the clerk, "Yeah, can she have the cookie?"
"Yeah, whatever. We're closing this month, so we just have them all out at the end of the counter. Take as many as you want."
"Oh, Lord, save us," Yolanda laughed and moved up to take my place in line. "It's good that we're in this together, right?" I awkwardly attempted to fist bump Yolanda, but just sort of knocked her lightly on the shoulder when she didn't raise her own fist. "I'll just go ahead and grab some cookies for your husband and totally none for myself." Needless to say, I doubled back to the counter after I shook Yolanda and shoved two handfuls in my purse. And now, here I am in this dressing room at the Victoria's Secret, looking at my spank-saddled body from three angles, thanks to the heavenly fluorescent bulbs that have shown me parts previously unknown to myself. And, to add insult to injury, I can hear my ex-mother-in-law in the dressing room next to me chatting on her cell phone. Gloria. A Midwest Helen Mirren or Jessica Lange in her early 60s and not looking a day over 45. I'm sure her exquisite body is not a thing a daughter-in-law is supposed to notice, but it was like a classical film scene whenever we'd visit and she'd open the door to her house. Rays of sunlight would spill through modern stained glass, highlighting her statuesque frame as her hair flipped over her shoulder in slow motion. I used to tell Grant, her son and my husband at the time, that I'd totally go gay for his mom. That generally resulted in 2 minutes of retching sounds as I laughed and Gloria rushed to get her son water, thinking I was some kind of sadist. My respect for Gloria, however, was not mutual. She revealed her true colors pretty early on in our relationship. She never thought I was good enough for her son, so she kept pop-quizzing me on shit in front of him to make me look dumb. For example, this one time when we were all in the market picking up Thanksgiving supplies, she burst out with, "Pop quiz, what is the capital of Denmark?" I bet you thought I was exaggerating. No, they were literally pop quizzes. And she graded them. Copenhagen, I think, I answered, proud of myself.
Easy ones first, of course. How about Slovenia?
Transylvania?
No, Slovenia. You should know the place as it's named after you.
I don't know.
Ljubljana. How about Georgia?
Ooh, I know, Atlanta, I said with a little skip in my step.
We're doing countries. I thought that was obvious. We're doing countries. I thought that was obvious.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait.
Clock's ticking.
I actually know this one. It's Tbilisi.
Tbilisi. Right,
she said disappointedly.
Huh, impressive. Why do you know that? Grant asked me. I think it was like on an episode of the MMC. The what? Gloria asked, wrinkling her eyebrows in an uncharacteristic wrinkling of anything on her body. The Mickey Mouse Club, I replied quietly, aware of my own ridiculousness. Okay, learns from a mouse. Well, that's 2 out of 3, so let's say 67%? That's hardly passing, she informed us while adding a bag of flour to our shared cart. That's hardly fair given there were only 3 questions, I argued. I'm calling it a fail. What? Are you kidding? That's a D fucking plus, I yelled in the aisle. Gloria put her hands to her ears for a second and then pivoted. Grant, sweetie? Yes, Mom. You're dating a D-plus student. We're married, I laugh yelled back at her. Turning back to me, she mouthed, for now. Grant, in a moment of chivalry, jumped in. Mom, leave her alone. Gloria snarkily whispered over her shoulder as she rolled the card around the end cap. Just drop out. Oh no, I'm graduating at the top of this bitch. Can you watch your language in public places? Grant scolded. What are you, the popo? I countered as Grant rolled his eyes. Grant never really did like those jokes, for Grant is actually the popo in this town. Or was. I kinda talked him into bringing home some of the unclaimed confiscated police property once, and he did. And he got caught, and he lost his job, and he's now a mall security cop at the new mall across town, and Jesus Christ, it was just a crockpot. Well, he blamed me and was too manly for couples therapy because he could handle his own problems without bringing some stranger into it. And so, long story short, he's now my ex-Grant, and I'm sure Gloria loves that. And now, I was stuck in these Spanx and was pretty sure this was how I was going to die, trapped in these human constrictors mere inches from my arch-nemesis. And then I noticed it. A skin-colored mole on my back. I'd never seen it, but then again, I'd never seen most of my body in that unholy glow before. I tried to angle in closer, leaning my shoulder down to the mirror closest to my right, but when I did, I made shadows in the wrong places. So I twisted my body around and tried to look at the mole from the mirror in the front of me, reflecting the one behind me that was the one reflecting the mole. You get it right. Anyway, so it was on the back of my right shoulder, and I finally got the angle right, but then I was too far away to see it clearly. So I pulled my phone out of my purse and tried to reverse selfie it, but the picture's just coming out too bright, like one of those light leak filters. Or I guess like a real light leak. And then my dumb phone just crashed all together, and this was like the 18th time this has done this since the new OS update, Apple! Please keep it down, I heard from Gloria Stahl. Fuck, that was my outside voice. Figuring it would be more awkward to not respond, I attempted to disguise myself. Are you talking to me? D plus, is that you? Trying to think quickly, I responded, I'm a triple D, thank you very much. Which I thought would definitely disguise me since I'm a B on a good day. I suddenly heard the, ooh, sexy lady, part of Gangnam Style. Shit, fuck, it's my ringtone for Gloria. I tried to answer and whisper solemnly, hello, I'm so sorry, I'm at a funeral and I have to whisper. I can hear you, rang out from Gloria's dressing room. Okay, yeah, what hell? Nothing. Just surprised to run into you here. Seems a little out of your budget. Oh yeah, well, there's a sale. Surprised you'd sink so low as to pay less than luxury prices. Well, I was just leaving anyway. The quality here has gone downhill. Go to the other mall. I'm sure Grant can point you to all of the high-end merchandise. I heard her grab the handle with the force of her Pilates-toned arm and turn it, but there was no aggressively loud door swing. She didn't emerge. I heard her try again, but nothing. Great. I think this door is jammed. It's no wonder this mall is going under. Maintenance has gotten lax all over this place. The mall is going under because of bad press. People keep reporting about all this spooky shit that keeps happening here. But I mean, you probably saw all of that in your cauldron, right? Gloria took a moment to digest that. And then I heard her huff and go for the door again. But again, no budge. Listen, I would like to do nothing more than issue one well-placed bitch slap onto your I wish you were still a virgin cheek, but I seem to be trapped at the moment. Just then we both heard the high-pitched and crackly voice of a third person in the dressing room slowly say,
Ladies, I've been trapped here for 3 days.
Great, you do voices now. You can add that to your circus resume, Gloria shot at me.
Okay, listen, I took one aerial silks class because I had a Groupon.
I am not that other girl's voice,
said the Zelda Rubinstein-sounding person.
Ma'am, sir, what is it ever that you mean? Gloria asks in her best sotto voce.
I mean, I'm my own person.
No, I mean, what do you mean that you've been trapped here for 3 days? Gloria responded.
Oh, well, I think this dressing room is a place between realities. And I think we each have to face our own demons before we can be allowed to leave.
The voice paused before continuing.
Or like, maybe they closed the mall and forgot about us. I don't know. I ain't crazy, though.
While the crazy lady had been talking, I'd been unrolling myself from the Spanx and was trying to pull my pants back on when I noticed that mole again. Or rather, I noticed where it had been, but now it was gone. I kind of stood up fast and lost my balance, falling into the changing room wall. The three mirrors clattered on their plastic wall hooks as I slid to the floor.
It sounds as though one of you has met your demon, the raw voice cracked out.
No, my pants are just assholes, I informed her. But now that I was on the floor, I had a new perspective. There'd definitely been a gap under the door when I came in, but now, when on the ground and expecting to see the paws of the stranger and the exquisite ankles of Gloria atop some designer heels under the door, there was just a beige 1980s department store-looking void. It was like a gray and beige checkerboard plaid that went on for seemingly miles. I thought voids were supposed to be void? Then I caught the movement of something out of the corner of my eye and I turned the other direction. I leaned forward slightly and saw it in the mirror across from me, which was reflecting the mirror behind me that reflected where the mole had been. Let's not do this every time. There were three mirrors, they reflected things, you can connect the dots. It was a bump, but it was moving. It wasn't just moving, it was mobile. It was crawling from one side of my back to the other, and then it started to appear as if it were bubbling and growing. I jumped up, untangled myself from the pant leg, and tried to turn my back to the mirror again. The fuck is that? I asked myself.
What?
Gloria inquired. It's a bump, or several bumps, or I don't know, they're moving.
Bumps? Where?
On my back.
Great, STD Plus. What did you give my son?
Oh, get over yourself, Miss Fine and Mighty. Whatever this is, it's new.
It's her demon,
the mysterious person cracked out.
Her demon?
Gloria let the second word roll in her mouth like she was trying it out for the first time.
Woman, rewind your mind. I just told you this.
Okay, Tangina, the demon we each have to face, okay.
Yours will come soon,
the mystery person sing-songed. Yeah, all right. Has anyone else tried their doors? Gloria rattled the door again, and I could hear her putting all of her muscle into it. But it still didn't budge. Okay, stranger, so what do? I bit.
Does it seem like I know? I've been trapped here for 3 days,
Zelda proclaimed. To herself, she muttered,
bitches don't listen.
Off in the other dressing room stall, Gloria was talking to herself about
these damn smartphones,
so I assumed she was trying to dial or text for help. If she was having the same problem I was, she was seeing no bars, no Wi-Fi, and all the apps were frozen. When she gave up, she started politely yelling, and then really yelling for some help from the shop girls. Well, what's your demon, at least? I asked, trying to get a grip on our situation after Gloria's cries had resulted in no response from outside, as if, like our guide had suggested, we weren't quite wholly in our reality. I heard Zelda take a deep breath.
When I first arrived, I was trying on a pair of yoga pants when I saw a shaggy white goat behind me in the mirror.
I imagined the minuscule Miss Rubinstein as if in a flashback sequence, hazy with a dreamlike echo as she faced the animal.
Oh, save me, Jesus! It's White Philip!
The goat brayed and stomped a foot at Zelda.
Okay, baby, back up, back up, I told the goat in the reflection. But it reared, and I jumped. Knowing I wasn't going to get out of this without a confrontation, I slowly turned around to face the thing, and it wasn't there. I looked in the mirror again, and the goat in its white furry glory was back, but just behind me in the mirror, not really here in the real world. So I avoided looking in the mirror, and I figured I'd just pay for the pants on the way out so I didn't have to waste time changing back, and that's when I discovered I couldn't open the door. I cried out for help. I tried using my phone, but the screen was just white. Like light had leaked into it, and it wouldn't respond to anything. I tried to crawl out under the stall, but if you hadn't noticed yet, it's like some sort of time warp beige endless nothing out there. I slid my torso out, but I was so bored, I had to pull myself back in here. So I spent the first day avoiding looking in the mirrors. I tried to dislodge them and turn them around, but that just made the demon goat angry, and he made a god-awful racket all night. Middle of what I think was yesterday, I cracked and turned the mirrors around again. I wasn't prepared.
Oh, what the hell is that? Gloria interjected.
It was a dramatic pause,
the disembodied voice replied. No, not you. There's some kind of creature in here, I think.
Your demon,
the voice said ominously. Looks more like a small rodent. I heard the shuffle of Gloria's polyester and rayon blend move to the corner of her dressing room as she investigated. Shoo, shoo! Oh, where the hell did it go?
It's in the mirrors,
Zelda advised. No, I think it's in this thank you bag. See what I tell you, bad maintenance in this place. It sounded then as if Gloria had picked up her notoriously large handbag and started swinging it out a corner of her stall. Shoo! Shoo! Lady Sir, I'm not sure if what you're saying is coherent, but I think you're right about the mirrors. I'm seeing all these weird things on my body, but they're only in the reflections, I reported to our wise consultant. It was true, too. The ripplings I saw moving across my back had traversed to the front of my body, according to the mirror. But when I looked down, I just saw my own cookie-loving bod. Nothing that wasn't normally alarming. But as I turned slowly around, my whole chest was a living, roiling entity in the reflections. Now, if you'll recall, I took the compression garments I was trying on off, and I fell out of my pants, so I was basically just standing there in my chonies staring at this canvas of flesh undulating until I began to see recognizable shapes appear. Okay, this is not happening. This is some kind of fucked up augmented reality VR hoodoo and someone's trying to YouTube prank me, right? That unprofesh sort where you end up psychologically scarring people for life in the name of the channel? This is not how you become an influencer, guys. No one responded to my slapdash challenge. Where did that fucking thing go? Gloria yelled in the middle of a barrage of swinging and crashing noises. Listen to our friend here, Gloria. Look in the mirrors. Gloria gave a short burst. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Told ya,
the voice and I chorused. Meanwhile, I stared aghast as the shapes in my chest rippled and coagulated into what looked like a small, well-manicured hand. Okay, that was weird. It's like Tiny Exorcist in here, I said, more to myself than to my two companions. I could hear Gloria rhythmically yelping now. Ouch! Shoo! Ah! Get off! Ah! Ouch! Echoed from her corner of the room, along with the sounds of glass banging, lipsticks and granola bars tumbling out of her handbag, and hangers of discarded lingerie rattling around. The coursing waves of my chest turned and twisted into now two tiny manicured hands that seemed to appear and disappear in time with Gloria's screams. It dawned on me that they were like a jerky flesh animation of two arms swatting at something.
What's your poison?
Yelled the voice at Gloria. Is it spiders? Mosquitoes? I added. It's damn you! Ow! One little... Her words suddenly came out choked as if she was deep-throating one of the food court corn dogs. She gagged and spit out...
Sparrow!
Like a bird?
Yes, Nelly Furtado, a goddamn bird!
More vigorous swatting and swinging could be heard.
It keeps pecking at me!
My chest flesh waved and stretched until it looked as though I was a funhouse mirror blob made of pale and freckly liquid mercury. The shape of a foot emerged from my neck, the toes spreading and crackling just under my chin, as if I were a pair of fresh pantyhose, and then it slid around the back of my neck. It was followed shortly thereafter by another. Then, the gelatinous version of me formed full-size legs extending from my shoulder blades like leg wings. I was both horrified and impressed by the detail in the reflections. Gloria screamed viciously again.
That little shit whistler just took my eye! Why is no one helping us?
She cried some more. I could hear her rocking and moaning.
Look your demon in the eyes and understand each other, the voice uttered.
This POS just stole my eye! It is clearly not interested in a staring co-
We heard another sudden choke and a liquid splutter.
It's cut my jugular,
Gloria eked out.
You understand what that means, D-plus?
Burn.
I understand. You should probably be quieter then. I looked at my hideous new form in the mirrors. A new set of pert, designer boobs had emerged just over my existing broken underwire bra-clad ones, making my chest look like two semicolons next to each other. Two excess ear shapes nestled in the pillows of my eye bags, making me look even more like a sad clown. The tiny adult arms took turns emerging from my belly to gesticulate whenever Gloria moved, and those leg wing things stretched and flexed, showing off just how limber they were. I realized I'd recognize those calves anywhere. Those were Gloria's chiseled calves. What really confused me, though, was that my body had completely reformed into this monstrous new shape. I should have felt the skin ripping from the tendons and tissue as everything changed and grew. This should have been an excruciating transformation, but I didn't feel anything. I don't get it, I said aloud.
Not surprised,
Gloria said in a faint whisper. Shut up. No, I'm seeing all sorts of crazy shit over here, and it should be painful, but I don't feel it. Meanwhile, Gloria's all, my eye, and doing some kind of reenactment of the birds in her stall. So why is my demon just visually torturing me?
You really want to push it?
The wise voice wisely asked. What happened to you? Do you feel stuff? I asked Zelda. I heard the voice clear some of her rasp before she began.
When I stood at the center of where the reflections of the three mirrors met, I held the gaze of the goat demon and his shaggy hair began to grow and grow. It came out and off of him like waves of water, if it were made of hair, and began to fill the changing room. I risked a peek around to see if the real stall was filling with the hair, but the goat hoarsely screamed, and I snapped my head back and watched. I tried to close my eyes and shut the vision out, but the goat would scream, and then I would scream. I tried to cover my ears so I wouldn't have to hear the slippery sounds of the goat hair entwining and matting, but the goat would scream. I tried to focus my attention to other parts of my body to psychologically bind myself, and still the goat knew and screamed louder. So I was forced to watch, consciously, as I saw myself and began to believe myself surrounded, encircled, and ensnared by the goat fur from the silent but drooling beast that stood behind me and stared. I began to panic and hyperventilate as I thought the snowy, soft hair of the goat might very well drown me, but the goat saw my rising terror and paused. I thought he'd stopped. I thought this was the end of it. But then it seemed the goat smiled as a tentacle of his hair stood before me and then gently pushed on my chest until I fell back into a cloud-like bed of his hair. It then grew over my eyes and I sort of fell asleep.
You fell asleep? Gloria and I yelped together.
I mean, it's comfy.
So you've been like that for 3 days,
How have you gone to the bath? No, never mind. I spit out before realizing I didn't want to know the answer. Gloria started screaming and spluttering just then again. But I realized that in all of her struggles, I never actually heard a bird. If there were a real one, surely we would have heard wings, whistles, or something. But there was just Gloria's array of gurgles and gasps.
Once you face your demon and accept him, you too can rest in his arms.
The goat had arms too?
It's a figure of speech, hair, wings, whatever.
So you can feel the goat fur.
Again, it's more like hair, but yes, I'm laying in it right now.
And Gloria can obviously feel the bird attacking her. So why can't I feel anything? You think maybe it's because I don't want to believe it? I heard the door on the lock turn slightly. I was on to something. I tried the knob, but it wouldn't open, so I tried thinking out loud again. I don't want to believe that. Then something clicked in my head. Maybe it was because I'd switched over into Gloria's pop quiz adrenaline terror mode, or maybe I'm just... Okay, I'm like really good at making puns as a form of torture, and the wordplay just hit me. I think I get it. Mine, I mean, I announced.
Your demon? The voice queried.
No, I don't think it's a demon. I think it's a metaphor.
What?
Gloria and the voice chimed. So, hi, I didn't tell you my thing yet. Basically, those moving bumps I told you about before, they kind of formed hands and feet and stuff, and I recognize the parts. They're Gloria's parts.
Who is Gloria?
The bitch getting apparently eaten by a bird.
My parts?
Gloria whimpered. Yeah, and every time you did something annoying over there, it got worse and grew more... Gloria. Do you get it?
Sorry, not following, the voice said.
Gloria's getting under my skin! My skin began to ripple again. The leg wings sucked back into my shoulders. The hands melted into my neckline. The breasts, sadly, also disappeared, but they were replaced by a face over my breastbone. Gloria's. It mouthed in a mock version of her voice.
I thought you were tougher than that. You always seem so strong.
I mustered up some confidence and announced to Skin Gloria and Real Gloria and the world, Yes, Gloria. I didn't want to believe it, but your words hurt and stung and dug into me like thorns. I was on a little bit of a weepy roll then. I let your poison seep into me. I tried to put up a wall, but you poked and prodded, and yes, I let you get under my skin. Are you happy now? The skin version of Gloria smiled, I think, and then dissolved back into my flesh, and the latch on the door to the dressing room turned and the door fell open. I wiped away tears and shouted, That's it, guys. It's like a dream. You have to interpret it. You have to self-help yourself.
I can't. I'm dying.
Gloria managed to breathe out as if she'd bled completely dry already.
I think I get it. So, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? Sparrow rhymes with arrow. Kill two birds with one stone, the voice prattled.
Is there more than one bird? I asked Gloria.
It's eating me,
she answered. Oh, is something's eating at you? Is something eating at you? I yelled excitedly. Gloria's breathing steadied. We could hear that, even as I possibly cold-heartedly put my clothes back on while she was supposedly dying. She began to clear her throat. I quietly zipped my jeans.
That seems to be it. The wounds stopped bleeding. The sparrow landed and is now just looking at me.
Okay, more to do then. Do you know what it is that's eating at you?
Yes.
I think you have to say it out loud, or to the mirror or something, like the other girl did,
Zelda wisely concluded.
Yes. Okay. D plus? I mean, Denise? I miss you.
I'm sorry, what?
I miss you, okay? You were the only one of Grant's girlfriends.
We were married! Girlfriends, who became a wife that gave my sass back to me.
I respected you. I enjoyed your company, and I'm sorry, and I regret, that it may have been my vitriol that poisoned your relationship with my son.
her door unlocked and swung open. She sat, defeated, on the dressing room stool that faced the three magical mirrors. Her head rose from her chest, and we met each other's eyes and had a moment. I ran in and hugged her, and I admit there were a few tears. I may have also caressed her strong back a little, but that's a different type of story.
Ahem. A little help here? Zelda interrupted.
White goats with long hair are the variety that make the wool for cashmere. You said you're just laying on a bed of this hair and it's just grown over your eyes, right?
Gloria took the lead.
Yeah.
And so?
Gloria circled her hand as if she tried to coax the understanding out of the air.
The cashmere.
The wool?
Gloria corrected.
The wool? The wool is over my eyes!
There was a loud clatter thump then. My guess is that the bed of hair must have disappeared and our advisor must have fallen to the floor. We heard her yell from the ground.
Okay, how was I supposed to know cashmere comes from goats? That is not everyday knowledge.
Okay, well, do you think the wool is over your eyes somehow?
Well, I don't think this going out of business sale is as big of a discount as they say it is.
Her dressing room door unlatched and the door swung open, revealing Yolanda.
Oh, come on, I've been here for 3 days for that? Yolanda? Denise? Oh, thank God you gave me your fortune cookies the other day. I was rationing them.
I grabbed the items I was going to purchase and the arm of Gloria, and we exited the store. Past the knowing eyes of the angels that modeled the underwear we'd come to try on in the first place. Aren't you glad this brain of mine was on the case? I tapped my forehead and lifted an eyebrow at Gloria.
You got 2 out of 3. 67%. D plus.
Fuck! What is it with you?
The end.
Wash up. It's time for dinner.
All right. And then we'll go back down the tunnel?
No, I think you should stick around for a while. I have more stories to share.
Okay, well, I was on a sabbatical anyway, so why not hang out a little longer, I guess?
Thanks for listening to the Sefficast.
I'll take it from here.
Retail Therapy was written by Aaron B. Lillis and is one of a number of short horror stories that all take place in the same mall. The anthology, Tavistock Galleria, Short Stories from America's Retail Wasteland, can be purchased on Amazon. Amonymous is the host of the Subversity Transmit podcast, a speculative fiction anthology series for the queer. Subversity Transmit is currently seeking submissions for a new season of stories. Please visit subversitytransmit.com to learn more. The Subversity Transmit Productions characters appear courtesy of Crockett and Graven Productions. The voice of Amonymous is Aaron B. Lillis. The voice of Alex Woods was played by Alex Woods. The voice of Snips the Sidekick Duck was played by Snips the Sidekick Duck. The voice of Signori is Jose Perez. The producer of the Sapphic cast is Alex Woods. The writer of this episode is Aaron B. Lillis. The Sapphic cast artwork is by Caroline Abernathy. All links to creators and stories can be found in our show notes at thesapphiccast.com. Sapphic is spelled like Sappho, by the way, 2 P's and an H. You can follow us on Twitter at TheSapphicCast. Do you have a favorite girl/girl fanfiction story or original genre fiction story you'd like us to take on? Send us suggestions at our Twitter account or to our email at thesapphiccast@gmail.com. Again, 2 P's and an H. And hey, while you're at it, tell your friends to listen and follow us. The Sapphic Cast is a Dark Quill production. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved. Hey, Subversitizens! What you just heard was the actual live spy footage recordings of my abduction and capture. It's okay. I seem to be fine for now. I don't even know how we got cameras down there, but I guess that's the problem when you don't report anything that's suspicious that you see. But, you know, live and let live. I don't know how long I'm gonna be gone. I've already kind of been gone from your feed for a while, but I've been here behind the scenes. So let me put it in another way. I don't know how long I'm going to be on the surface. But for now, you can tune into the Sapphic cast for queer female-specific stories.
subscribe on your rectangular devices. Rectangles. It's so silly. It's so hard to hold. It's not natural. We've got these hexagon things. I like to call them sexy hexies. Anyway, follow me and my abductors as we search for more stories for both of our transmission feeds. You can also support these adventures by going to darkquillproductions.com and finding our links for Patreon and some other things where you can exchange your currency for our creativity and hard work. That seems to be how it works here down there. We're just, you know, generous. I'm told I will be let go eventually. I hope so, because the tea up here is just subpar.